Hello, listeners. This is Janine.
And Stephanie.
And welcome to The Course of Course, episode 21. So how was your week, Stephanie? I know a lot of stuff happened for both of us.
Yeah, there was a lot of things going on. My friend with a mental illness went radio silent, which means he was locked up. I was able to set a boundary. He's now out.
Out of jail.
Out of the mental hospital.
Institution. Okay.
Yeah, like they tend to go in for 3 or 4 days and then they let them out again. And it just is a cycle. So one thing I realized today is I've experienced and witnessed his desire to be the manic, the high part of it, and hates it when he gets on the antidepressants and things slow down and he's faced with the real world and how that addiction to that fast pace is always drawing him back, which is the ego, and how even in my own life, like right now I'm faced with, I've been out in the world doing, and I'm looking now to reinvent myself and pull back and go within, and how sometimes when I do slow down for a little bit, that addiction to the excitement is what always gets me overcommitting again. And I'm really going to try my damnedest not to do that again, like to break that pattern. And now my new goal is just inner peace and learning to spend more time with God and atonement versus at-one-ment, just something I learned listening to the Illusion tapes by Gary.
Okay. Can you give the listeners a little more information about that distinction?
Yes. Okay. So when I was first introduced to the course with Marianne, at the lectures, they always talked about at-one-ment. But how Gary explained it was, is that's more the end product. So when we read the word in the text or in the lessons, my mind has always jumped to at-one-ment and kind of made the other thing wrong. But the way he explained it was, is atonement is actually the proper way of saying it, because that's the time we spend with God in meditation. And getting the new kind of form to meditate through Cindy and Gary's workshop that we did, which is also described in his books, I'm experiencing meditation in a way that I've never had before. And it's that willing and that time and that building the bridge is the atonement. Like we're atoning our resonating inner force with God instead of the false world.
I like that interpretation. Coming from my religious background, we would always hear this phrase, atone for your sins. Oh. Atonement in that context never really seemed like something I was looking forward to.
I could get that.
Right. So I think there may have been some confusion between how we approach that word.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? I probably heard that too in the churches growing up. Atone right. for your sins. And since sins aren't real.
Yeah, so atone for your sins doesn't feel like a warm fuzzy. Like, come on over here, I'll give you a hug. It's like, it doesn't feel like that. To me, it feels like, uh-oh.
I'm in trouble.
Yeah, I'm going to get lashed, you know, with some sort of whip or something.
Yeah, it's pretty beautiful then to gently get corrected, which is what the course does, to see life differently.
Yeah, absolutely. So we had talked offline about you are a master gardener and you've had this plot, this share garden in beautiful Santa Monica, California, and you've kind of gone through some
emotion,
I guess. So what happened this week?
Yeah, so this week I needed to get over there as usual to tend a garden, and I just hit a lot of traffic. And it was pretty funny because I was listening to Gary's audio, and he's talking about driving down the freeway with his middle finger pointed backwards. And how he finally had to learn how to give that up and create a peaceful experience driving. And I couldn't take it anymore. It was like, how could he talk about this? And I'm in gridlock. I couldn't move. I was spending more time commuting to and from the garden than I was actually in the garden, it seemed. And it caused my stress levels to go off the rocks. And I knew I needed to give up the garden with the fact of the fence issue not being resolved and the helicopters and the sirens and all of the noise. Like the location is just insane because it's right next to the Santa Monica Pier. And if it was closer to me on the other side of the pier, closer to me, it wouldn't be such an event to get there. But my emotion was not ready to give it up. Like I really love our plot. We have beautiful soil and I had big space.
I kind of love this example because first of all, just to give a little color to the situation, Stephanie lives on one side of the Santa Monica Pier. Probably a mile or something from the pier. The way you're driving to the share garden, you have to cross past the pier to the other side of Santa Monica. in between where you live and where the Share Garden is probably, I don't know, 5,000 tourists that decide to either walk or drive in that very, very short kind of route, maybe a mile stretch at the most. Mm-hmm. But as you were saying, it took one car every time the light turned.
Mm-hmm.
That's how slow everything moves in that very specific place. So it can be a bit challenging for one's patience in that very small space. But I also thought it was fascinating that you had talked about the Share Garden, that you loved being there. It was super important to you. But even things that we really love and think that would make us very happy, once we realize they're probably not making us happy, it takes a lot for us to say, you know what? I'm going to choose something different now. I was a little too attached to the idea of it. Now that I've done it, it's going to be a little harder to let it go. But the bottom line is, it's better for you as Stephanie to find other options that don't make you so upset.
Yes.
And you have found another option, which is fantastic.
Yeah, some friends bought a house over by work and they have a huge backyard. And
I've never met anybody that keeps creating these opportunities like you. You are like a wizard in every so often. You just create a new garden. Seriously, this is like the third, fourth garden you've had.
Yes, this will be my fourth garden. And I feel very peaceful there. Like the people that are there are my community. It's a brand new space, so it's going to take some effort. But it's worth it because it's convenient.
Right. And those other three gardens kind of helped you get to this place.
Yeah, I feel like I'm choosing an inner peace over an outer crazy.
Yeah, that's another good point. Sometimes our desire for something outside of ourselves becomes so huge, we lose the concept of maybe this isn't really going to make me happy to possess whatever I thought I really needed. And you can fill in that blank with anything.
It was interesting to see the ego rationalizing, like being a master garden in the community garden space. There's only three community gardens in the whole city. It takes people 7 years to 12 years to get this space. And there was this struggle within me, like, do I really step away from this space that's so difficult to get, where I can show off my talent, you know, and get little props, or do I choose something else? And I think part of that going within, that new chapter within me, this was sent to me by the Holy Spirit to still garden, but have it be a peaceful experience.
It's huge progress in a very short amount of time. You went from, I have to have this garden, I'm so glad I have this garden, to a few weeks later, a few months later, saying, you know what, this probably isn't the best for me. I'm going to move on. Sometimes it takes people a very long time. I'm in that situation at work. I think a lot of people feel this way in a work environment. Well, this isn't working for me, but it's better to like be in a situation that I know instead of a possibility that I don't. So I'm kind of taking a lesson from your experience to try to work out my own. I always talk about my work experience because I feel like it is the number one place in which my forgiveness opportunities are being presented to me. However, talked to you about this earlier this week, I feel like I'm now to the point where I'm having a bit of forgiveness fatigue. For the past couple days, it's been very difficult. I feel like the forgiveness lessons coming at me are increasing with such rapidity that it's almost like it's too overwhelming. And I've had to really spend some time over the weekend to try to take a breath and figure out what is really happening here. I have to figure out how to diligently address this. You have been listening to the Gary audio, and you had said something which I loved about forgiveness, and it really is forgiving back to the Holy Spirit, which is amazing to me. And you're right, it does resonate in a different way. It's kind of like what you were talking about, atonement. Mm-hmm. I think when we look at these things from a different angle, they have much more meaning. And so when you had said forgiveness is really for giving to back to the Holy Spirit.
The illusion, the crazy.
Totally get it now. But I've been reading this stuff for 2 years and now I get it. It's funny how these small things, when we're ready, unlock something in our perception.
It's beautiful. Secrets of the Immortal, Advanced Teachings. Well worth the $42, everyone.
42 U.S. American dollars.
I know last week I was complaining about the Passion of the Christ part, but there's so many gold nuggets in these audios that it has shifted me as well. Yeah, like there's something new about how I see myself and how the world exists, which I feel like the material world, the false world, is starting to become a little bit more distant, like it's falling away a little bit.
I'm finding that when I'm in distress, whether it's a work environment or not, but generally it's work lately, that I have to take a beat and realize I created all of it. From an ego perspective, that smacks me right in the gut. It's like, wait a minute, these people, quote unquote, are making me miserable. They're doing stuff that make me upset. Mm-hmm. Well, once I start seeing, well, it's really me, it's like, hold on, why do I continue to allow this to happen? I said this before, that I have cast people in roles in my play that I don't like, but I cast them and I wrote the roles. It doesn't make it any easier on a Monday morning when these same people cast in the roles that I wrote continue to act out the play in which the script is already written, right? So it's a matter of just taking moments and realizing that shift that we all have to go through in our brain and in our perception. When we're at work and we're dealing with the dream that seems so real, and we still have to go to a meeting, even though it's a dream meeting, and we still have to deal with these people, even though they're a little crazy that we created in our dream, but also having that shift go on in our mind that this doesn't exist. We have to live in two kind of parallel universes at once. It can be challenging to remember that when you are stuck, or you allow yourself to be stuck in the storyline that you've written. For me, that is one of the bigger challenges.
I think that's where the meditation comes in, and building the inner world, because it helps us detach and get that all that outer world stuff that we created, we just don't need it anymore. And by giving that illusion over to HSJ, it doesn't have, it changes. You know, Gary's talks about things that have shifted. I mean, we've experienced it too. I know that would be a really big one for you, for it to shift. Mm-hmm. But I wholeheartedly believe that building that light and that bridge, and just continually turning that illusion over to the truth, it will shift.
I can't wait for that to happen, because I really do feel like the amount of forgiveness opportunities have become so overwhelming that I literally felt like I was being crushed by them on Friday. That it was just so much. I recognize that I'm putting myself through it for a reason, and I'm doing what I can to continue to reach for the Holy Spirit. Don't always do a successful job at it, but I will continue to do it. I think Persa had talked about this when she was going through her big forgiveness in her Chicago lifetime, how every day she had to keep forgiving until it took hold. It's how I feel like I'm at this point. But I was saying earlier that when I think of Jesus and compare myself and go, well, you know, it's kind of like how Jesus went through. I recognize that my little Janine experience is nothing compared to what Jesus went through. But I look at Jesus as somebody, it's like, well, what would he do? It's that whole Christian thing, what would Jesus do? I've sort of embraced that. It's funny, some of that Christian kind of concept I always kind of walked away from, because I thought it was a bit loony. But there's aspects of it that I no longer make fun of anymore. One, because I'm getting a little more mature about it.
They're truth.
But yes, it's like I get the truth part of it. And that's okay. I'm just going to focus on that. We were also talking about Martin Luther King and Gandhi last week, in reference to them being in the White Brotherhood. And that came from the Afterlife of Billy Finger's book, which I did re-listen to this week in audio. I can't say enough, listeners, if you have not read this book or listened to the audio, it's transcendent. It is just as important to me as some of the Gary Renard material. It did a fantastic job of explaining through kind of like this first-hand account, second-hand account, of this gentleman who passed away and what his life has been like on the other side, in a way and to an extension that we've never heard before. Because usually when people talk about, oh yeah, I passed away and I went through this whatever, it's funny, I keep hearing this a lot, near-death experience survivors, obviously they'd have to be, talk about going through a tunnel, but all these other accounts that I've been reading never say anything about a tunnel. You know, it's just a vast expanse.
And then they have their family or pets there and they do their life review. But we don't get much after that.
Correct. It's like, okay, that's great. But the Billy Finger's book, paints it with words in a way that still, I think it's one of the most beautifully written passages of anything I've ever read.
And it matches the Forgotten Song.
Yes, it does.
So it's a beautiful place to aspire to.
I like that all of these things that we're admiring, the books from Gary and Afterlife of Billy Fingers and those kind of things, they all basically are having the same truth. So it's nice to hear this kind of like bolstered and repeated in a different kind, in many different sources, mm-hmm. which is so nice to hear.
You know, sometimes I wonder if our life is like Jesus, and that just every false life that we have is just the same cycle. It's just the environment's different.
It's a good you know? Point.
It's probably the same people and the same things to overcome, injustice.
Injustice, exactly. I mean, who hasn't had part of that in their lifetime?
Crazy people like Hitler or whoever. Like, there's one in every lifetime.
At least one.
At least one.
So every Sunday morning, Oprah, bless her heart, has Super Soul Sunday programming. And a bunch of people are interviewed, spiritual people, and sometimes they'll just have others who have gone through their own awakening. And when I was reading the Twitter feeds this morning, someone had said in a real quick tweet, "How to recognize your false self? Whenever you take offense, there it is." That really hit me a lot because I feel like at work I get offended by people who I feel like aren't giving me respect or whatever. It's like every time I felt offense, then that's not really who I am anyway, right? So it's like my false self is getting mad at their false self. Gee, nothing bad can come of that, right? The other thing I thought was interesting when I read a tweet, if you don't transform your suffering, you just transmit it.
That's like, ooh.
I know. If you don't transform your suffering, you just transmit it. I feel like I've been transmitting my suffering at work so often that it has to stop. And it's got to stop now. It's not going to stop on Monday. I need to stop it immediately. I think it would be such a huge victory for me in the upcoming podcasts where I can say to the listeners, you're not going to believe this.
Guess what?
Everything's turned around for me. So that's me and my future self saying that.
And not to say it won't bite you in the ass a few times along the way, because it's always going to keep testing us.
Or biting me in the butt.
Oh, excuse me, biting me. Yeah. And I can give an example of that. This week we had a big UK actor in town and he was singing a song on the stage. So all the composers and the music people were there and I've met everyone as they rolled in because I produced the events, and all of a sudden the talent shows up. My colleague, boss, introduces me to everyone as her assistant.
Interesting.
And I just, like, my heart just kind of goes, what the heck did she just say?
Ego. Massive ego.
And I
hers
just,
and yours.
I in the moment, I was like, you know what, Heavenly Father, like, I just forgive this in the moment. It doesn't matter. I mean, I will talk to her about it. And I did the next day.
How did that conversation go?
It went pretty smoothly.
Well, good.
Like, normally, I stress out about things. Normally, it makes things weird between us. But I was just straight. Like, I don't know if you realize what something happened yesterday, and I just want to bring it to your attention. So going forward, you can maybe introduce me as your colleague or your associate. And she honestly had no idea and questioned me. Like, are you sure I said that?
Wow.
Like, yes, you did. But I know that the place I was coming from was from love and not attack.
Mm-hmm.
And it made all the difference in our relationship. And it felt very warm and fuzzy, you know, by the end of the week of them being in town.
That's great.
And I see the progress. I mean, she's my slow burn, and things will come up. That's just the ego rearing its ugly head, but we can see it differently.
Atonement, indeed.
Yeah.
Atonement, indeed. So what do you have coming up this week that we can talk about next week?
I haven't thought that far.
You're in the moment. You're at one moment.
Oh, I know what I wanted to talk about was the overcommitting and just how tired. Like last weekend, I listened back to some of our podcasts and didn't realize that I had been sick and I had been kind of complaining about the same thing. That's when it just really hit me. Like, I need to look at everything I've committed to and choose some things and let some other things go. So I am going to be having some conversations with people, and some of them are things that I can tweak to make work for me, and some of them are things I'm just going to have to let go. But right now, I feel like I'm going to create and hold on to an inner space like I never have before, because I feel like that's the next part in my journey with the course, is to really, and not like I have to spend a lot of time with it, because there's also that little voice within that's going, oh, if you know, an hour to meditate. You don't have to meditate an hour. Gary says you can do it in 5 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, think he said at one point that he's actually being more efficient with his meditations for 5 or 10 minutes than he ever was for like an hour and a half or 2 hours.
About 20 to 30 minutes works really well for me to come out feeling different on the other side.
That's good to know. But one of the things I've long admired about you is you're always there to help people. And because you're very open when people call and say, hey, can you help me out with this or whatever, you do tend to get a little overscheduled. And you're right. When we both listen back to these podcasts, we start picking up these patterns for both of us to go, oh, so it's nice to have these podcasts actually as some sort of recording of our lives. But it's also nice to say, oh, okay, now I'm seeing it. When we're in the moment, it's not always that easy. In fact, it can be challenging to be objective about what we're doing or what we're saying or what we're going through. Mm-hmm. But when she starts seeing a more obvious pattern, now we're 7 months, I think, into podcasting, it's nice to be able to go, oh, who was I when we started doing this in September, October, and who are we now in March and April? We're different people, and I'm so happy for us. Even these small progresses are more than we've had before. Mm-hmm. In the 20s, 25 years of kind of new age
buffet.
Yeah, new age buffet. All of a sudden, what we are going through is progressing us in a way that I don't think any of that did.
We're undoing the mind, the false mind.
And boy, is it fun. Facetiously, I say that.
You know, some other things that Gary was talking about in the tapes was just that unconscious guilt. And most of the stuff that's firing at us for us to forgive, it's not necessarily something that we're, like, it's the unconscious guilt that's making it happen. It's not so much that I did something bad and there's a karmic outcome right within 24 hours or whatever. I don't know.
You're right. It could be like residue that has kind of been hanging around that isn't so obvious. It's not overt. And then you're dealing with it and it's like you don't have to worry about where it's coming from. We just have to figure out how to forgive it, how to give it over to the Holy Spirit.
Exactly. And to not worry about all the scenarios of how they might come at us and how to prepare in our defense.
Correct.
And spinning out of control that the ego wants us to do, worrying about every anxiety of how it could happen or what I should have said or should have done. And instead, just turning it over immediately, the illusion.
And that's the practice of it.
Yeah.
To every moment go, okay, I'm just going to turn it over. Like you had said to me, you gave me some really good advice when I go to work on Monday. Just keep turning it over. Just keep turning it over. This stuff is going to keep coming at me. Because that's how it's set up. So I just need to figure out if the pitches are going to keep coming at me, I need to figure out how to swing and hit them. I can't just let them hit me in the face all the time. There's got to be a way to transform the energy.
That's what the ego would say.
Right.
But by turning it over, we're not buying into that story.
Correct.
It almost seems like it's just from the moment that we turned away from God.
Yeah, so we're re-experiencing that,
mm-hmm.
kind of in this crazy planet illusion on a daily basis, on a moment's basis.
And since it's all just the dream and it's the one mind being expressed as Janine and Stephanie and whatever, it's still really just that tiny mad idea in that one moment that we wondered what it would be like to play over here instead of over there. And it just keeps reliving and repeating. And the second that we can turn around and look back at God and invite that side of ourself and building that bridge through the meditation, it just feels like that's where the peace is and that we can break this cycle.
I'm just hoping that I can transform this forgiveness fatigue into kind of an optimistic view of forgiveness transformation. And this moment is the beginning of that.
And it will be an ongoing journey.
As it always is, indeed.
But I think he also said in those tapes that there's a point where the Holy Spirit does take over. It becomes a lot stronger. Mm-hmm. And the false world does kind of lessen. And the ego's not fighting as much.
But it's that constant practice.
Yeah.
I suppose that other people don't need as much practice. I, unfortunately, have a very, very strong and well-developed ego. And I think that's why it's a bit challenging for me to kind of keep breaking this stuff down and taking a breath and not going into overreaction or automatically thinking there's something wrong with a colleague who is saying stuff that is false. I can't take in false stuff, and I definitely can't generate it outward either. This is so complex and yet so simple at the same time. Oh, the course.
Thank goodness for the course.
I can't say enough for it. I know that when I talk about the course to other people who aren't quite open to it, sometimes I hit against resistance, and that's okay, because goodness me, how many times have I resisted? I get it. Every day, I think I'm becoming more and more convinced that of all the paths that I can choose, and there's many, the course isn't the only one. It's just this one allows me to progress in a way that I haven't really aligned to before this?
I would like to just say maybe one quick thing from the course. Dreams are done. Eternity has shined away the world, and only heaven now exists. That's the end of the salvation. In my second book, I can't read the numbers. It looks like 4541 is the page number.
Okay.
If you have font like I do. But it's about replacing the thoughts of conflict with thought of peace. Peace was given without opposite. It merely was, which is just like God is.
Yes.
It's just peace. What it merely always was.
Mm-hmm. And always will be.
The mind split. We're correcting that. And we can learn all our lessons in a gentle, loving way.
Yeah. And I kind of like the idea of it's possible to not have to go through this drudgery for years and years, that I could speed up my process. And in theory, I could get this quickly. I don't have to keep running the tape in my mind that I have to be one of these people who study the course for 40 years. When I first read that Persa had studied the course for 40 years in her Chicago lifetime, it kind of freaked me out a little, because I thought, oh no, in 40 years, I'm going to be kind of old. It's a long time, right?
Uh-huh.
But I do believe that you don't necessarily have to have a lot of time investment into the course. It doesn't always equal enlightenment in that way.
Yeah, I mean, I think if one truly gets through the lessons and the text, I mean, there's people that do it one or twice, like they don't do it every year. But I think that the crux of the course is that meditation part, once we've undone the mind, to keep building that bridge and that muscle and the repetitiveness. That's the studying, being a student of the course to me is kind of doing that for the rest of my life.
I love that Jesus channeled this, I guess, through Helen Schuckman. But I also love the fact that it's brought me to a point where I can really look at Jesus in a way that I can't see him as leading my way through this. And before the course, I never, ever would have said that, ever. Mm. To me, that's one of the biggest gifts, I think, that I've given myself, is bringing Jesus back into my life when the concept of Jesus was so abhorrent at one point. I'm kind of sorry to say that, but I'm glad that I'm coming to the realization of kind of where my mind was, that even when I have a tough day, it's just nice to think Jesus was there. He went through an awful lot, much tougher things than I'm going through, and he made it, made it.
Yep. The world is a crazy place out there. And we gotta, you were asking me what I might do this week. I think I'm going to schedule myself, like figure out when's going to be my study time, when's going to be my meditation time, when am I going to fit in swimming, because I want to take a swimming class, and I want to get my taxes done. So I think I'll do that next weekend since it's Easter weekend, and we'll get an extra day off and at least get that going and get some integrity back into my financial situation. I have lots of money sitting there that I can get if I just submit for it. You know, whether it's a work expense or a medical expense and tax return. And
you brought the word integrity up again. I really appreciate that. When I hear the word integrity, I think mostly it's been coming from you. But I like the concept of just keeping an integrity with ourselves, with our financial picture, with everything.
With our spirit picture.
Yeah. Like, because that's what really matters. Integrity with ourselves.
Hallelujah.
And I like the idea of scheduling time. I think I'm going to do that, Stephanie. Thank you.
And then my garden, my new garden, I won't start for a couple weeks. So I got some time off to kind of physically heal too.
Yeah. So after the death and resurrection of Christ, you'll begin to replant. It's all symbolic.
It is.
You know. All right, listeners, thank you so much for hanging in there for the Course of Course episode 21. We'll be back next week. Stephanie, have a great week.
Thank you. We love you all.
We love you all.
Because we love ourselves.
Exactly.
As one.
We'll be back on our Easter edition of the Course of Course next week. Thanks, everyone.